Welcome back to the Evolving Wellness Podcast. My name is Sarah. Today I am talking with Dr. Mark Sherwood about some of the discrepancies in the functional medicine model and what we can do to treat the body in a more holistic, approachable way. So stay tuned. Welcome back. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. Today I've got Dr. Mark Sherwood on the show, and he is a very interesting guest with a very interesting past. And we are talking all about this kind of dysfunctional functional medicine model, even though he does kind of work in the alternative medicine model, but where it's going wrong, what is going wrong, and how so many people are just kind of spinning their wheels, how allopathic medicine is not helping people, and even functional medicine is missing the mark. So I'm so excited to share this information with you. We're also talking about hydrogen. I have a huge interest in hydrogen. We have been using the Holy Hydrogen machine. My code there is Sarah K, and I'll put a link in the show notes. If you hear this conversation about hydrogen and you're interested in learning more, make sure you head to the show notes and use that code. And we're going to talk about some of the medical uses for hydrogen from a doctor's point of view, how he's using it clinically. So lots of really great information in this episode. I hope you enjoy it. Let's go ahead and jump into today's episode. All right. Thank you so much for tuning into the Evolving Wellness Podcast. My name is Sarah, and today I have Dr. Mark Sherwood with me to talk about all things hydrogen, his background, and how he's used it therapeutically, and just whatever else comes up. So Dr. Mark, thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, Sarah, thanks for having me. I've been looking forward to this. Honored to be with you.
Yeah, and you've got really, I mean, I was just going through your website. You've got a really interesting background and have worked with people all over the world in different capacities. So maybe we can just talk about that briefly before we jump into more talk about hydrogen and different uses that you've seen in your practice.
Yeah, it's been a journey. I've worn a lot of hats in my day, Sarah. It's interesting, just in a very, very brief 30,000 foot view, and then I can go a little deeper. But I was actually a police officer years ago. Did that for over 20 years. Prior to that, I was a professional baseball player. And wow. Then during the time on the police department, I was on the SWAT team for a decade, and a lot of stories to tell there, of course. And then little did you know, kind of fun fact was years ago, there was a group of people that went around the world called the Power Team. And we used to break bricks and ice and bent steel and blow up hot water bottles. And we would travel all around the world to and been on every stage on national TV.
I wonder if you guys ever came to my elementary school. I used to go to a private Christian school, and I feel like there are these guys that came in and like broke phone books and were.
Oh, yeah. You're aging me there, Sarah. But yes, I was one of those men. You know, I used to wear the headband that said power on it.
So nice.
But that was fun. And then sort of towards the end of my police career, maybe the last 5, 6, 7 years, I was transferred to the police academy, where part of my responsibility was establishing a wellness program. And of course, you know, being in the physique, you know, kind of quasi drug-free bodybuilding area for a long time, you know, it seemed like a natural thing. But then I started studying, you know, and I've always been curious. And probably my greatest downfall and also benefit is probably I keep asking why, or why is that, or why does it have to be that way, or why is it that way? And which, you know, why is that powerful question? I think it keeps us learning. And I think that's what we're missing a lot in today's world. You know, we just kind of settle in to think what we know to be true, and it's not, you know, never was, but we just got to keep moving. So I got into that area and started studying, and I wanted to first, my initial process was to really figure out how I could keep police officers alive longer, you know, maybe post-retirement, because they were only living an average of 66 years of age, which was shocking, you know, after serving your community, city, states, country like that, you know. And so as I started studying, I realized that there's more to this, and people around our country and world were suffering. So they really were not getting as much out of life as they could, and probably not experiencing the fullness of life. And so I went on this mission to kind of keep learning. And I did. I decided to become a naturopathic doctor, and shortly thereafter, I met my wife, Michelle, and she's an osteopath. And we just it was love at first sight. I mean, I call her not my spare rib, but my prime rib, and people laugh at that. But we worked together, and the birth of the Functional Medical Institute was birthed out of pain. Go figure. My wife, she's much more beautiful and more intelligent than I am. And I'm happy to say that, but she was kicked out of mainstream medicine as an osteopath, top of her class, just a board certified intern of sports medicine, but she was kicked out of medicine because too many people were getting well. And she wasn't didn't have enough procedures and processes and studies that she was running. And they told her, your payer mix does not match what we want. And if people don't think right now it's about money, you need to wake up and get your head out of the sand, because it absolutely is about money. It's not about people. There's no such thing as health insurance. It's sick insurance, and we need to call it for what it is. And so out of that pain was birthed the Functional Medical Institute. We've been at this, almost 15 years now. And our mission really has been about leading people down a pathway of true healing, whatever that meant. And it's more than just functional medicine. It's not alternative. This is mainstream stuff. It always has been. It's common sense. And we've just tried to keep learning and figuring out all kinds of modalities that we could bring into people's lives. And I think there's probably seven, eight areas that we really focus on as sort of a whole with every person. It's nutrition, sleep, stress management, movement slash exercise, of course. Genetics. We run a genetics panel that's very deep and a lot of information heavy. That's on everybody. We do a ton of peptides, which are short chains of amino acids. We use hormones as appropriate. We also look at glycobiology, which is looking at the sugars on the outside of proteins, and that's not done in America much. So those areas we look at, and then we're always looking at the emotional, community, spiritual aspects of things, because if you're not looking at the whole person, you're disconnecting the process. People, Sarah, are emotional, physical, spiritual beings, and we cannot separate those. When we do, it's just absolutely dysfunctional. And that's a parallel what medicine is. We've separated out these little department specialties, and that's not how it works. Body doesn't work like that. Life doesn't work like that. The world doesn't work like that. So, that was a big answer to a short question, but that just kind of our mindset's a little bit different. And we've been doing this for a long, long time, and COVID, the whole thing that was or wasn't, it didn't change what we did. I think if anything else, it probably opened eyes up more to begin to see what maybe was not the best that could be better.
I agree. And it was a challenging time, but I feel like there are so many people now that are kind of willing to look at things through a new set of eyes, especially when it comes to the healthcare system and when it comes to how dysfunctional it is and how it is. It's basically to keep you alive, and then even that is kind of questionable whether or not that even happens. So yeah, it's and insurance is a disaster. We were talking just a little bit ago before we started recording the episode of the challenges I've had with my daughter and her health, and we've got the head of neurology at the Children's Hospital recommending a treatment for her. And we've gone through the appeals process with the insurance company three times, and they're saying no. And it's like, how do you know better than the head of neurology at the hospital of what the child, it's his patient, what she needs, but it's all about the money. And yeah, it's very sad. And so so many people are in situations like that where they're like, okay, well, I can't afford something that's $40,000 a treatment. What can I do? And so they're looking at these alternative ways of looking at medicine, and that's really what I like to talk about on the show and bring in different viewpoints and talk about different modalities that could be supportive for people who are in those situations. Because I feel, I don't know if you're seeing it, but I'm seeing a huge uptick in autoimmune conditions, issues with mold and, environmental toxins, and just people's bodies are overloaded, autoimmune. And I think there is an emotional component 100% at play with these conditions. But I don't know, what do you think is causing this drive and this uptick? Or do we have more mold in the environment than we used to? Do we, you know, like what do you think is going on here?
I think there's a couple of multiple things playing a role in this. It's probably not one, it's all. And it goes back, I think I'll draw a parallel with the concept of cancel culture.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen that in not just mainstream political arenas, but we're seeing it in this idea of health. People that are here, I just encourage you to pull up photos of people 75 years ago, beach photos. You're not going to see obesity there. It's very, very rare. And back in those days, and again, I'm dating myself here a little bit, when people gained weight and had too much weight, it was considered unhealthy. But today, that's been flipped. And you got to go back probably to the late 70s, early 80s. And I think that was the switch that just sort of started things going in the wrong direction. There at that point, a lot of people remember the old development of the food pyramid, which is nothing more than the government
Government.
saying, yeah, it was like Sarah, you rest of you American people, you're so dumb. You don't know how to take care of yourself. You don't know how to feed yourself. You don't know how to really, feed your family. So we're going to teach you how to do that. Well, that was a disaster because that sort of was based upon lobbyists. And so you had this bottom of the pyramid, which is fascinating to me. 6 to 11 servings of brains and grains and breads, and we didn't talk about sugars, and fats became bad. Well, we need fats, and but a whole nother subject for another day, perhaps. But the bottom line is, when that happened, all this money came in from the government to subsidize, the dairy industry, wheat, corn, soy, beef, beer, all this, and so you had this big old influx of processed foods. Fat is bad. You had this sugar, no fat stuff. You had this everything went calorie driven, and you had this idea of a bunch of gluten being put into things, and you saw this big trend in increased autoimmune conditions. You saw this big trend in obesity, type 2 diabetes, cancers, Alzheimer's, dementia, osteoporosis, heart disease, and it just exponentially, just went out of sight, and there's no end to sight. I mean, we are, tr th this, I believe, is the thing that's going to destroy this country. It's the enemy within. And we've got to get out of the idea of thinking that the system's going to change and trying to change it, and spending money trying to change it, and effort and emotions, and develop and live in those traditional systems that are outside of that. And that's what we've done. Yes, it cost. Yes, there's money. But yes, I believe provision is out there if we just really embrace the idea that the answers are there as well.
I agree. And you know, my community here listening, they're familiar with my story of my daughter and you know, the injury that I believe, and nothing on the show is medical advice, just a little side note there. I want everyone to have informed consent and do what you feel is right for your family, for yourself, for your children. But, you know, speaking from somebody who completely trusted the medical system, completely trusted everything I was told by conventional doctors and the quote unquote system, have my life completely jerked, the rug jerked out from underneath me. You know, watching her health over the last 16 years has just been like, that's why I do what I do. Everyone's like, oh, Sarah does what she does because she wants to, you know, optimize hormones and talk about weight loss and beauty and anti-aging. That stuff's cool and fun because I'm trying to stay alive because I have a child that is probably gonna, she's gonna live with me until I die. And I am always thinking, like, how can I anti-age myself so I can live forever? Like, so I don't have to leave her here without me. Like, the whole purpose of what I do is not so that I can look good or whatever. It's, you know, that's a fun benefit. But like, I wanna be able to take care of my child who is very injured by the system, you know. And on the other side of the coin, I have a son now who's almost 18 months. So we did not do any medical interventions of the standard type with him. Never had an ear infection. Healthy, started babbling at 5 weeks old. He's 17 months on, you know, saying full sentences now. I mean, he's just a remarkable child, just remarkable. And I'm like, Yeah, he's unscathed by this system, and we don't feed him the baby foods. He eats, kind of a ancestrally appropriate diet with healthy fats and, all the things. And it's just like, man, it's just sad because there's so many people that it's almost like people have to get burned before their eyes will open up. And that's really what 2020 did, I think, for a lot of people is they started getting burned by this system and being questioning the validity of these things like the food pyramid and these medical interventions that people were being forced to undergo. And people started kind of saying, wait a minute, wait a minute. This is not what I thought it was, right? Maybe I shouldn't be so trusting and look at my health,
You mentioned like mold. I didn't really get into that answer, but mold's been around. It's even addressed in
Forever.
the Bible. People forget that, like the Bible gives you sort of mold remediation kind of treatments. What's really happened with us is I tend to lean heavily on the terrain
Yeah,
theory,
amen. And
really.
yes.
Like it's our environment in which we're
Yes.
created, and that environmental sort of disturbance has created this landscape or terrain or territory or climate inside of our bodies that's very lacks resiliency. It doesn't have the ability to defend. And so I think, yes, we've got more chemicals today. Yes, we probably got more problems today, more pollution, etc.
Non-native EMF.
And so, but it's not necessarily that. It's I think it's probably more of we lack resilience because we're not doing anything to think about that, to really understand that. And that's been what we've been trying to do for a long, long time, is to build the resilience up again. And you mentioned the key thing about aging. And there's two things that I really want people to understand. Genetically speaking, our genes, and we test these all the time, have changed 2% in 10,000 years. That's it. So if the genes were the problem, then why wouldn't we have had the same problems 500, 1,000, or even 200 years ago? So, we've heard the saying, and I don't want to like disparage anyone that's lost lives with violence, because I get that. Guns kill people, or guns don't kill people, people kill people. Somebody has to pull the trigger. Genes are like that too. They're the environment, but the genes are the loaded gun, and the environment pulls that trigger. And so at the same time, all this has happened, over the course of time, our actual biological aging speed has sped up. I believe the organ systems are probably capable, as per the blue zones, we see, to be extended out there to the 120 year range. I think that that's what their lifespan is, probably. And we have accepted the idea in this country that if you lived to 75 or 80 years old, you had a really good life. We just kind of like lowered the bar and sort of had this participation trophy mentality, and it's got us in trouble. We've got a less than excellence drive. We are satisfied with adequacy, or maybe less than adequacy. We don't try to do anything else. We don't talk about anything else. We don't try to do any better. And if we don't have a good results, we blame it on somebody else. It's got to go back to our own responsibility, what we do. And we actually can test that biological aging speed and process. I do it all the time. And, really happy to report my wife and I have been able to get our immune system age where it's functioning like in the 20s, which is a fascinating study that's actually just still evolving and developing. But there's so many cool things out there that people can do right there, modality wise. And we just got to like open our minds up and start connecting with people like yourself and sharing information with other people. The greatest messages are not shared on the internet. They're shared from person to person. And I hope people remember that today.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, having conversations like this is so important because if you just turn on the TV or if you just listen to the news or if you just it can be really depressing and it can be really daunting and you there's like a lack of you feel like there's a lack of control and there's people are not taking accountability. It can be a hard conversation to have. But I want to empower people through the guests that I bring on, the things that we talk about. Even though I know a lot of people that listen, are in some pretty tough situations, myself included. My child being hospitalized multiple times over the last year, and just all the stuff that we've been through. I am still not going to be jaded. I'm not giving up hope, and I'm always going to continue to believe that there is a healing path available. And it's through these types of connections that, these healing connections can be made and these pathways can be opened for people. So I think it's critical that we keep having these conversations. And it's not genes, I think it's the mitochondria dysfunctioning. When your mitochond when you cannot move electrons across the mitochondrial respiratory chain, you're getting tons of reactive oxygen species, tons of lost energy in the body, inflammation. It's a dysfunction at the level of the mitochondria, I think, that is causing genes to be expressed. Because like you said, it's we haven't had these huge genetic changes. There's an issue with the mitochondria, and I think people need to look at their lives on that level and how we support that. I don't know how you feel about that, but yeah.
I do. I think it's a very important subject because I think people need to know, and just to break it down, and I hope people really get this. This is probably one of the most important things we got to get. Life begins when that sperm fertilizes that egg and you form that first,
The zinc spark.
that first thing, that first life, and then you get this cell. You get like mom and dad are like potatoes of genes, and they come together and make a mashed potato, a brand new genetic winding of the clock, knitting together, if you will. And inside of the cells, all of them, there's something called the nucleus. And the nucleus is where your 23 chromosomes of mom and dad are interwoven. And the 23 chromosomes on those chromosomes, you've got our, 28, 30,000 genes structured along there. And then genes are made of nucleotides, which are nothing more than letters that are constructed in order to make proteins. So, and then within a cell, you also have these organelles. One of them is very important. It's the mitochondria. So it's like the powerhouse of that cell. So when the outside environment, whatever it is, whether it be an outside toxin, pollutants, energy, or injury, and or something that's generated inside, we got to deal with it. Whatever dealing with it is, the resiliency I'm talking about. The mitochondria has to crank out energy at the cell level so that the DNA can unwind itself to create the necessary ingredients for the protein to be made to deal with function. And proteins can be characterized as antibodies, they can be characterized as hormones, peptides, whatever. But the point being is, it all begins with the cell. And you mentioned something about the cell, which is fascinating to me, is when you create energy at the cell, it requires oxygen and nutrients. So if we eat poorly, we have no ability to have nutrients. And if we don't exercise, we lose our oxygenation capacity. So you got oxygen, nutrients smashed together to create this molecule of energy for the cells, which is called ATP or adenosine triphosphate. Now, you mentioned the last phase before we get to that, before that's transferred on to create the powering up or continued powerization of our process, is there are five complexes within the electron transport chain. Now, not to freak everybody out, but the bottom line is, within the electron transport chain, a natural byproduct of creation of energy is waste products. And those waste products would be known as free radicals. And it just makes sense if we draw this picture in the sense, Sarah, of a refinery creating gasoline. And we know there's waste products. If that's not cleaned up and the waste products get built up so bad, well, it just makes sense that refinery is not going to function very well. And in this analogy, when the free radicals don't get dealt with appropriately, we lose energy output. We lose cellular response to the environment. Therefore, we lose the ability to become resilient and deal with the insults of the environment. And so I'm all about the mitochondria. I'm all about optimizing that. I'm all about generating maximum response in that and salvaging that over the course of time. And our cells have the ability to do that. They have the ability
They
to
do.
repair themselves. They have the ability to mop up those free radicals. That has the ability to really function in a very mind-blowing way if we do the right thing.
Absolutely. And that's the issue. I think too many people have inflammation, and then the diet is feeding into that. I'm doing a practitioner course, creating a practitioner course right now on leptin. And when you really look at leptin and those recept the leptin receptor in the brain, and leptin, excess leptin is basically obesity, right? If you have leptin resistant, you're obese, you have excess body fat. But one of the things that stops leptin from communicating with the brain, which is going to also signal thyroid and immune system and bone health and heart health and so many things in the body, is inflammation. And so in my protocol, week one is all about light, but week two is all about the nutrition, and I've pulled in so many studies about what foods are inflammatory, and when your brain is inflamed, again, that leptin signaling can't happen. And so it's kind of this like negative feedback loop. I don't think people understand. Everyone gets so emotional when they talk about food and nutrition. It's like gluten has been shown across multiple studies to block the leptin receptor. Dairy as well, causing an inflammatory reaction to block the leptin receptor. Lectins, same thing. Like so many things that it's like it's not an emotional conversation. Like this is really what's happening. And if you want to bring your leptin levels down, if you want that signaling to start happening again, you're going to have to make those changes, and you're going to also have to support the mitochondria. So again, everyone kind of wants a quick fix. They want a supplement. They want to inject a peptide. They want to do these other things. But you have to. I mean, I think that you agree with me. You've got to have the foundations of nutrition down as well when it comes to healing autoimmune conditions and dealing with making the body more resilient. Sometimes we have to pull some of these things out, and they don't really belong in the diet as food, in my opinion,
They're not fit for human consumption. I mean, I think it's utter brilliance that Hippocrates, who we probably heard of, known as the father of, he's not the father of modern day interpretation of medicine. He's the father of what we're talking about here. He said three things I think are very powerful. He said more than this, but I think this is utter brilliance way before his time. He said, "Let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food." I mean, that goes right in the face of first line therapy in our current medical system is a medicine. We don't talk about nutrition. If they did, the clients or the clinicians would get terminated. Ask my wife. Secondly, he said, health begins in the gut. Third, disease begins in the colon. And you mentioned something very key that I think people don't think about today is brain inflammation. And like leaky gut, many of us heard about that. Leaky guts, leaky brain. And when you get leaky gut, you're going to develop these autoimmune tendencies in a high propensity. You're going to also develop this gram-negative bacteria, lipopolysaccharides, known as LPS, and they're going to be up there, and they're going to cross the blood-brain barrier, and they're going to house themselves in your brain, creating more brain inflammation. And you talk about the onset of obesity, creating more leptin, and it hits us so fast we become leptin resistant, and then all of a sudden now you go there, and it's got to be the thyroid, so we need a levothyroxine or Synthroid, and that's not fixing anything, and nobody ever talked about the cause. So I too, like you, concur that the majority of all autoimmune patterns are generated from the gut dysfunction that we have. And then you have this added insult that you might have from a trigger of a immune-inducing vaccine or vaccines that are perpetual bombarding the system. So you got the leaky gut going on, the inflammatory foods coming in, and then all of a sudden you got this other stuff hitting you, and it's like getting hit by a train. It's almost like a boxer who has been punched and jabbed and punched and jabbed, and they become punch drunk. They become dysfunctional, and that's how the body is when we get this insults that's happening. But the body's resilient. I've seen it turn around, man. I've seen some crazy cool things by just turning the system around and doing the basic things to support this dysfunctionality that we can so have.
Thank you so much for listening to the Evolving Wellness Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, make sure to share it with a friend or a family member, especially if this message is resonating with you and you think that something in the conversation could be helpful to a loved one, to a friend, in a Facebook group, or on Instagram. I would love to share this message with as many people as possible. You can also always go to Apple or Spotify to leave the show up to a 5-star review, leave us a like, leave us a comment on YouTube, and those are other ways that you can support the show and spreading this message. And let's go ahead and jump back into today's show. I guess that's kind of maybe where we can lead into hydrogen a little bit, because that's something that we've been using with my daughter, and we've tried everything. And last summer she tested positive for mold, and all the functional testing costs thousands and thousands of dollars. Yeah. And it's like, we checked the home, no mold, but I went ahead and installed some dehumidifiers and a whole home air purifier, made everything as tip top and nice as I could. But yeah, and with somebody who already has mitochondria that are not functioning as well as they should, you have to be really careful with detox. Like really, really mess somebody up. And I've seen it time and time again of people that come into my community of like, they come up positive for tests on mold, and SIRS is a big one right now. And they go through these protocols and they get even more sick. And I'm like, this is where hydrogen really piques my interest, because with my daughter, what we've seen is nothing short of remarkable with her starting to kind of be more of herself than I've seen in over a year. Doing the inhalation, which I feel like is the biggest mover of the needle, is the inhalation, probably about 90 minutes a day, and then drinking the water throughout the day as well. Probably 2 to 3 liters a day is what she's drinking. I'm drinking, we're all drinking it. So let's talk about your thoughts on hydrogen.
Well, I mean, we need water to survive, don't we?
Oh, yes.
You know, we're 65% water, and approximately as a human body, and we need water to survive. And water can be something that's used to carry hydrogen. So to me, it's a no-brainer. Every single person listening, every single person that listens to this story, every single person on planet Earth, in my opinion, needs to be utilizing hydrogen infused in their water, and also consider inhalation on a daily basis for at least 20, 25 minutes, 15 minutes, you don't have more time. And I think people need to understand that what hydrogen is. This is not a new technology. This is an old truth that has now been brought forward. And I'm thankful to God that we have this. I really, really am. And I don't make any bones about it. This is not something that just boom, popped up. It is, right? It's always been that way. We just sometimes have to get out of our own way to discover what's true. So hydrogen is the smallest molecule on the periodic table. Those of you that might remember that from back old chemistry class, it's the upper left corner, and one neutron, one proton, one electron. It's one. H, you know, there it is, H in the upper left corner. And because of its size, it is part of all matter. All matter has hydrogen. So therefore, its size allows it access to every place. Mm-hmm. And every place within our body that normally can keep things out, which is good, or let things out appropriately, which is also good, it can't avoid the intrusion of hydrogen. It cannot. So hydrogen actually is something that can penetrate all barriers, including the mitochondria. Mm-hmm. Now that's important, because like I mentioned to you a moment ago, and the listeners probably know this, those free radicals that we create are normal. And mm-hmm. and I suppose, you know, you get right into the science, there's some purposes behind some of them, like hydrogen peroxide, for example. It has some mm-hmm. antiviral purposes. And it's like we look at free radicals. Oh, my God, those are bad. We got to stop that, because everything has a purpose, even if we don't understand it.
Right.
Funny side note, but I have even threatened to write a book entitled God Made Parasites Too. I don't understand their purposes, but to really try to just eradicate something without understanding what you're doing is very short-sighted.
Agreed.
But these free radicals, they can build up in the system. And if they don't get antioxidized, let's say, because they
Mm-hmm.
are really missing an electron. And the process of free radical damage is really like this rogue
Proton.
molecule structure is
Yeah.
going around trying to wreak havoc, right? And so there is one thing that I know of, just one thing that I know of that can eradicate excessive free radicals and turn them back into water, which is what we need. And that one thing is hydrogen. That's one thing. And to me, this is so simple that it should be embraced within every person's home, every child's life, every grandparent's life. I was actually flown up to speak at the NFL Combine recently.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if the people at Holy Hydrogen even told you that, but the NFL players had brought the attention of hydrogen to some of their team docs. I didn't know anything about that, and I was privileged and honored to get to fly up there to Indianapolis and stand in a room with every single team chiropractor. It was pretty wild because they all have their little shirts on and paraphernalia of their teams, and I had 15 minutes tell them about hydrogen and how it affected free radicals and how it could possibly remediate and or prevent things like TBI, how it could improve recovery, how it could reduce inflammation. And I was just saying, God help me, please, because I got this one shot here. You get one shot to affect the world in these moments, right? And I finished in 15 minutes, and my hope was they got it. But hands started coming up, Sarah. They did. They started asking questions, and I think this is, I'm just grateful to be a part of this, but was able to give them some ideas, such as, why don't you put hydrogen in your ice baths? And they were like, whoa. And I said, why don't you let those players, when you're having on the sideline breathing a little oxygen, why don't you bleed a little hydrogen in there so they can
Hydrogen.
prevent some of this TBI that might affect their lives? And they want to be donating their brains to science anymore for negative purposes. Maybe they can donate their brains for good purposes. And their eyes lit up. And I could see their hearts opened to realizing that there's a better way. And I think it just didn't open to them as a team. I think it opened to them as individuals. And that's when you appeal to the heart of common sense of mankind, it's important. And certainly, I think it's relevant to talk about the genetic component of this at some point here. But without question, when you bring hydrogen in, there is a free radical molecule called hydroxyl radical. And that's a big old term. People can look it up. But when it gets built up because of the lack of the dealing with free radicals, that one is going to create all kinds of havoc. And it has no good purpose that I can find. Not one. It's just kind of the molecular debris that's like tips you over the edge. Well, hydrogen can selectively eradicate all of your excess hydroxyl radicals. And even when you drink it, I had a little kombucha here, but when you drink it carried in by water, just drinking it, it will go systemic in 15 minutes. That's all it takes,
Right.
man.
Yep.
15 minutes. And when you inhale it, it goes across the blood-brain barrier immediately. And
Yep.
so I don't know why this is not more mainstream.
Agree.
It should be, and it should be in every home out there, I believe.
Well, here's the thing, like kids like my daughter, I mean, it's a tough situation. I haven't like talked about the full story on the channel. I will eventually, because it's just been like the worst hard not the worst, but the hardest year of my life, having a new baby and having her decline so much. I knew it was a neurodegenerative condition when she started having grand mal seizures and was in the ICU, and it was terrifying. And so that's when I started really studying hydrogen and the ability of it to cross the blood-brain barrier. Because what's happening, I think, with a lot of these kids, so many kids have what's, called PANS, PANDAS. I think it's all autoimmune encephalitis,
Yeah, me too.
honestly. I think PANS, PANDAS is a fancy way to get people to spend more money on functional medicine testing and supplements and detoxing. And it takes parents on a ride, and it makes me so mad because I've been
Yeah.
there. I think it's all autoimmune encephalitis, but whatever we want to call it, there's extreme brain inflammation, and the hydrogen inhalation literally has done for her what nothing else could do. And she spells on her letterboard, you know, she's finally well enough to start spelling again. Cause for a while there, she just couldn't even spell. Like she couldn't, her brain was just so inflamed. She couldn't go to her board and spell. And I asked her, I said, what does it feel like when you breathe the hydrogen? And she said that, the fire that's on her brain gets it. It feels like a whoosh, yeah, that the fire goes out when the when she's breathing the hydrogen. And I'm like, right, oh God, because you know there's that movie Brain on Fire, and that's what it feels like when you have these neuro inflammatory conditions, as your brain is literally on fire. And she said the hydrogen like puts out the fire, and I'm like, okay, so this legitimately does calm the neuroinflammation. And I just think the implications for this are huge, because leptin resistance begins in the brain. So many conditions begin with the ability, with the brain being inflamed and the correct signaling unable to take place, you know? And so yes, I'm just like, wow, this could be so huge for so many different for different things. Like you're talking about with the NFL and preventing a CTE. I mean, that's huge, right?
Yeah, and I've seen it like, and this is just common sense again. I've seen it with decision making. Like, what? Wait a minute. Decision making. Well, so an inflamed brain is an angry brain, is a stressed brain.
Yep.
And so an angry brain, a stressed brain, is going to be a brain that's sort of going to respond to the environment in a way that is emergent. And so mm-hmm. you're talking about this influx or initiation of the cortisol mechanism from our adrenal glands. So you're going to have all kinds of cortisol going on, which is stress.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when you get stress going on, you get digestion goes down back to the gut, and you get all of our other, you know, negative pathways elevated for a longer time than they should. Now, stress will keep you alive, but when it's mm-hmm. chronic, I call it hypercortisolemia, you know, kind of a weird term that we kind of came up with. But it makes sense. So when you become hyper-stressed, you operate on only one side of your brain, because it's that emotional, emergent, reactionary side. And you sort of neglect the reasonable or rational or critical thinking side. And you become dominant in that side.
Mm-hmm.
And every decision becomes this reactionary thing. And it becomes not well thought out. And then we have regret, which sets you off. We have regret with financial decisions, life decisions, relational decisions, child, you know, whatever. And we just get off course. And I think right now we're seeing a trend in society that's heading horrifically fast at that pace.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think anymore. And mm-hmm. and I do concur with you on the pants panda concept. I draw that akin to fibromyalgia. You know, it's kind of mm-hmm. a dump. Everybody's looking for a diagnosis, man. The
yeah.
bottom line is, you mentioned something key, encephalitis. Itis is the key. Everybody, ITIS, inflammation.
Yeah.
When you have inflammation that's chronic, systemic, and overriding everything, it's like your fire department personnel going out there to fight a fire like they're supposed to.
Yeah.
But those guys never got to come back to the house. Man, they've been out there for years now. They're out of water to put out the fire.
Mm-hmm.
They're out of manpower to have the energy to put out the fire. I'm talking about mitochondria. I'm talking about immune systems.
Mm-hmm.
And your whole system turns upside down. Your body's just trying to borrow from Peter to pay Paul. And it becomes this quagmire mm-hmm. of an environment or terrain inside of us. And I think that, and I wish people would eat right. I do.
Me
no
too.
Kidding. To fix
yeah.
the gut. But even if you didn't start that process now, you got to start with water.
Mm-hmm.
You got to mm-hmm. start with hydrogen. You got to start here, because if you can get yourself thinking reasonably again and not be so darn emotional, you might not yeah. go down the pathways of comfort food, and you might have a more motivation to eat better. Like your daughter, that touches my heart like a whoosh. I picture that like a waterfall splashing mm-hmm. on a raging inferno in a forest. And,
yeah.
and I it's like the trees are going, thank you, because I was about to lose my life.
Right.
You know, and I think, wow, how touching is that? And I, every day, I will inhale it 15, 20 minutes myself, and mm-hmm. and I will drink it all day long. And I've been mm-hmm. asked for Is there harm to drinking it all day long? I don't think so.
I don't
I
think so.
can't find any studies out there, and I've read a lot of them. I mean, I've probably read over 1,000 myself, and there's a couple thousand out there, and they're based, a lot of them are based upon disease models, which, yeah, you know, whatever. But I'm all about prevention and avoidance, and that's why I think, you know, from a disease model standpoint, there's relevance, much relevance. And I think there's probably applicability in life as a whole. And that's why I think this has got to be looked at, not just like, oh my God, if I have this, I go there. No, do it all the time anyway.
Yep, that's what I've been doing it since we have the machine. I'm like, well, why not? And my sleep is better. I stopped waking up to pee in the middle of the night. Like, I feel so much better, and I'm lean. Like, everyone's like, what's your secret? I'm like, I mean, I optimize my leptin and my mitochondria, and I do a lot of things. But since I started the hydrogen, my metabolism is like, am I about to turn 45 or 25? Like, my husband's like, are you taking something? Like, what are you doing to have like visible abs at your age? I'm like, I don't know. I feel like it's all the other stuff I'm doing, but the hydrogen has just done something to my mitochondria and my metabolism that I'm like, this is some voodoo. Like, this is
Well, it is.
amazing, you know?
People need to know that, like, free radical buildup can create lipid peroxidation and protein nitration. I'm talking about damaging lipids, damaging our protein. So it damages function. It can lead to heart disease, brain disease, immune system compromise. It does that, period. It can lead to depression. It can lead to the lack of production of melatonin, which is an effector. It leads to the lack of production of our neurotransmitters, serotonin and dopamine, which leads to depression. So you see where I'm going with that. And that's just a result of a buildup of one free radical called peroxynitrite. And it's just there's basically three free radicals that are normally functional, I guess, for a little bit. And I guess there's superoxide, there's hydrogen peroxide, and there's peroxynitrite that are sort of rolling through that mitochondria all the time. And we deal with those pretty effectively if we don't get them in excess. But if they go in excess, they sort of quickly convert, if you will, to these hydroxyl radicals that become like the end all be all destructive forces. They're like atomic bombs going off in your life, you know, and they become a negative. And people should know, we do a ton of those genetic analyses of mitochondrial single nucleotide polymorphisms, or SNPs, you know, and those would be looking at the enzyme superoxide dismutase, catalase, glutathione peroxidase. And people need to know this, that the superoxide dismutase wild type, which is the most common variant in our world's population, has a slow function. Wow. So that means that everybody listening has a tendency, when the environment is pulling the trigger of the genetic gun, we have a tendency to have free radical buildup.
Yeah, it's my brain is just like going. I have a good friend of mine that had a very, very stressful event happen, and all of a sudden was like cholesterol levels went through the roof, which that's, like questionable as to whether or not that's like a big deal. But then went to get a CAC. The CAC was like a 462. And went and got an MRI, there was already some calcification happening in the brain also, young in the 40s. And I said, get on the damn hydrogen now. Get on the hydrogen. And and they were like, well, my twin brother doesn't eats worse than I do, has a worse lifestyle than I do. I'm like, but your brother did not have this ridiculously stressful thing just happen in their life. And your heteroplasmy just went, and that is why this you have a gene he this person has a genetic predisposition towards heart disease, towards issues with stroke, heart disease, all that, yes, but was perfectly healthy. And then this big stressful event happened, and now we have all these issues. And I think that I'm like, oh, that's it. There it
Oh,
is.
totally. With that situation, you know, you got people need to know that the genes don't create disease, but they set up
They set it up.
vulnerabilities in certain areas. You know, like in that situation, the vulnerabilities to heart disease might be there because the person doesn't really, you know, they produce a lot of LDL, perhaps. They're not able to produce sufficient or enough HDL, and maybe
HDL,
they've
yeah.
got a little bit of variance with the ability to maintain HDL. So all that can lead to this lipid peroxidation, the smallish development of particles that allow, penetration of these small particles into these places. We talk about leakiness, right? They can be leaky vessels, leaky vessel walls, leaky endothelium, and they get built up there, and then the body will try to wall those things off with calcium. And it's a normal response, but yet it can become, a tragic, pathologic situation when the calcium builds up so much that they get stiff. It's like a rock, and you don't want a calcified brain. You don't want
No.
calcified arteries, and so, you've got to stop the process.
Yep.
And people are going to breathe to live. They have to have water to live. Why not, if you have the ability, I just think, why not people think about this? If you have the ability to put something in the air that you breathe and the water that you drink that could help you remediate potentially tragic excessive amounts of inflammation and free radicals that can lead to conditions. And we all know that chronic systemic inflammation is a part of every disease process. Every one of them, all those itises we hear about, I've got arthritis, encephalitis, whatever, the process. And why wouldn't we do that? There's no reason that I can think of that we wouldn't. And it's like, wow, the answers are right in front of us. We need to embrace those things.
Yeah, I mean, I've got my friend on the hydrogen now, so I'm praying that maybe some of these things, and that, the doctors say, oh, it can't be reversed, and sorry, and we can just stop the progression with they want to go on a Mediterranean diet and all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, but I really think this hydrogen could help the situation. I'm never going to say nothing is irreversible. I will never, that will never come out of my mouth. I'll never tell my daughter, this is your diagnosis. I think the people that get so hung up on the diagnosis, and that those are the hardest people for me to support, is that they're leading, well, I have this, I am this, it just becomes their whole personality. And I'm like, this is hard what you're dealing with. And it's, I'm sorry. We have to let go of this identity that you formed around what's happened to your health if we want to move on, and that might sound harsh or insensitive. It's coming from a place of love and compassion and wanting to see that person get better, and heal.
I won't, when somebody comes in my wife and I's office, we talk about that so much. I want them to understand who they are. My name is Mark, and I happen to be a naturopathic doctor. I love people dearly. Your name is Sarah. It's like that's who we are. I am not type 2 diabetes. I am not heart disease. I'm not cancer. But what happens is the whole society is set up dysfunctional. And you go to the doctor or a doctor, I'm not knocking doctors, some of the most brilliant people in the world, and I know smarter than I am. But if you go into a place with one question that you want that expert to answer, and they're expected to answer it, and they're trained to answer that question, and the question is this: what's wrong with me? Give me something that's wrong with me. And that's what you're looking for. I don't know about you, but if I sit down with my wife, Michelle, and we start the day out, hey, sweetheart, let's have a fun experiment today. Let's sit here all day and let's just talk about what's wrong with each other. I
That's
don't
gonna be
think
a
that
real fun day.
that's going to be a miserable day, and all I'm going to think of is embracing the negatives. So when people come in our offices, and we got people that we work with all around the country and world, electronics. I don't let them go there. And they might say that I'm going to stop them kindly, gently, in love, and say, look, you may be in a state of dis-hyphen ease right now. Okay, fine. But let's talk about what's right, and let's make what's right and functional better. And over the course of time, that better will overwhelm that underperforming area and make the state of dis-ease come into alignment, giving you this harmonious, synchronous function of the body, which is peace, man. And so I don't know how every disease process gets reversed. I don't know how anybody does all that. I mean, I try to keep studying, but sometimes I don't know. But I've seen some crazy things be reversed, and sometimes I knew why, sometimes I didn't. And I'm okay with either because people get happy and blessed. And so even with your friend, I think if that friend is listening right now, words for you, three words, listen to Sarah.
Oh, well, I hope so. Because I want to see this person heal, and I believe in everyone's ability to heal. We just have to kind of get some of those ideas out of the way, and it's tough. I mean, trust me, I've been on the other side of it with my daughter, and it takes you to some dark and scared places, some fearful places, and that's where faith and prayer comes in, and not being trapped by diagnosis, by words, and really having faith beyond it, because things can happen. I saw a good friend of mine who's actually a quantum physicist, and he studies health and the ability for he's a biochemist, a quantum physicist. His dad, he ca actually came through here in August, and his dad had a blockage in his heart, was actually about to have triple bypass surgery, and they took him for the surgery, were doing the scan, and they were like, blockage is totally gone. I don't know what you did. I don't know what happened, but it's gone. And he was actually like frustrated because he thought he was going to have this surgery, and he's like, well, the body has this ability to heal and regenerate far beyond sometimes what I think we can understand and process. And I think that we can't forget that piece as well,
Yeah, agreed. I think there's no way we should forget that because, like, if we ever think we have it figured out, that's the beginning of the end.
Agree.
If we ever think we got the answers, that's the beginning of egoism and egotism. And we've got to stop that. Our job is to really continue to seek out truth, seek out information. And when we get a revelation or the light bulbs come on and things like hydrogen, we just need to get on board and do it. Now, are we going to find out years from now, probably after we're long and gone? More potential things out there and even more benefits of hydrogen, probably. Are there going to be other ways to use it? Probably. Are you going to be able to put it in a lotion cream? And there's even experimentation going on right now with IV use. I mean, is there things that we can do in the future? Yeah. Now, but I expect them to come from people in this country as far as the mainstream. No way. It's going to probably come from other countries,
Japan.
Japan, Korea, even other countries such as like Russia, they're kind of cutting edge out there in some areas. And it's like I'm not anti-American at all. That's not the
No.
point. But America is bought and paid for by big pharma. So all the studies are funded, medicine is funded, education is funded by that. So these discussions right here are not really had in mainstream, and they won't be. But in the space we're talking about right now, people, because of the availability of information through podcasts like this, through the internet, just research, availability is powerful. And there's some people out of here that are smart, smart, smart people and very intelligent. And you can't learn intelligence and common sense in school. You learn that through repetition, practice, trial and error, pain, victory, falling down and getting up again. And I think that's what you've done in your life, it sounds like. You learn that. And the more you do that, the stronger, more resilient, and hopefully more wise you become.
I love that. Well, real quickly, maybe we can just wrap with my curiosity about hydrogen, because I've had Greg on the show. I know you're familiar with Greg,
Yeah.
because I know people will ask, we use the holy hydrogen, and I believe in it, love it. I know you work with them. I get a lot of questions about the tablets, the smaller bottles. What's your opinion on things like that?
Well, there's a lot of teaching on that, and I think there's a nice group of people out at the Southern Utah University Molecular Hydrogen Institute. Really good group of people, and this the doctor I people can look it up, Dr. Tyler LeBaron. He's a really good guy with education. He is not one to be selective and opinionated with any sort of modality. But this is what I know. when you use that elemental magnesium sort of to create that, that's the tablets I'm talking about, create hydrogenation of the water, it will work. It will. I mean, you'll get this. And I was using that way before Holy Hydrogen, way before I'd met those people. When I met them, they're like, you know about hydrogen, Dr. Sherwood. And I'm like, yeah. And they were like, what? They kind of freaked them out because my wife and I have been traveling around with those little pills, little gray pills like that for years. And they work. Now, I'm not going to despair. They work. They do turn the water a dingy gray. It does taste like bath water, and you're probably going to get some metallic particles in there that probably might be not what you want. Right? So that's important to know. When you look at technology of hydrogen creation, you got to look at the manufacturing process, because you want a separate compartment that via electrolysis creates the hydrogen gas that infuses it into another compartment with the water. If you get them together, it can somewhat change the pH and even molecular structure of the water. Further, if the metals in the machine are not proper, in other words, if you get some inferior metals, you can get metal leaching in there. So you've got to look at the manufacturing process of it and the particulars about the way it's manufactured. I am very comfortable, and I would not be using Holy Hydrogen. I wouldn't have it in my home. I wouldn't have it in my business. And I've got two machines, one in each, and let my employees dig out of it. I would not do that if I didn't believe in that at all. Now, I do think that there are some portable machines out there that could be developed with the same technology, smaller version. I hope that that happens sometimes. But I can tell people right now, because there's a lot of them pushed out here on the open market, that frankly are just about as inferior as they can become. You can't buy cheap. If you get cheap, you will absolutely be disappointed long term. When I look at a Holy Hydrogen machine, I look at it like a Vitamix. I want the best. It's got the right material. It's got the right long-standing efficacy of lack of breakdown. And people that don't know, it's going to create about a liter and a half every 30 minutes and holds it for 12 hours. You gotta have it all day long, and it's got a little place you can put a cannula, you can breathe out of it too. So it's really ingenious the way it is. And I think that people should strongly consider looking at this not just as purchasing a machine. That's not the point. They should look at it as an investment into their life, the legacy, and the future of the ability to have health better. It's not about adding years in life, it's about adding life in years. And I think this is one modality that does that.
I agree. Yeah, thank you for that, 'cause I get those questions a lot, and I understand people. It's a pricey, it's an investment. For me, it was a no-brainer because we're getting $40,000 for immunotherapy versus a Holy Hydrogen machine. Yeah, let's so one has side effects and may or may not work. One has no side effects, there's no risk. Let's do it, and the whole family can use it. My son drinks the hydrogen water, he loves it, he's 17 months, and yeah, it just made a lot of sense for us. But I do have a lot of people that are like, I can't necessarily afford that, and I'm like, I think it's something to hope to save up for, because I have seen the bottles, they break really easy. I've seen some of the reports of them leaching heavy metals into the water, and I just can't recommend any of the little small bottles at all. And so, hopefully
One thing
some.
I've learned
Oh, go ahead.
that I'm sorry, when people pay for those things, I've learned this over time, and this might be a place people didn't know. I know that they have payment plans, which is good, but check this out. I've seen people use HSA and FSA accounts for that,
Oh.
practitioner involvement with a letter.
Oh,
That's
nice.
not hard, that's easy. So FSA and HFA, flexible spending account, and health spending account monies are sort of these debit accounts that are out here to use for your health. And people typically can put way more in that than it would be for a machine, and you can use that. So if that's something people have thought about, I've seen it work more than one.
Oh, that's good to know. That's really good to know, because I know a lot of people have those in their
Yes.
yeah, so that's great to know. Well, awesome.
You got to kind of work around that, but Certainly we've helped people do that a lot of times.
Wonderful. Well, that's really good to know, and I'll make sure everyone knows that that is in my community as well. It's something maybe to try, get a practitioner to help you get a letter and see if you can get it that avenue, because it is a medical device. I mean, it
Yes.
will save you money in the long run on medical treatments, in my opinion. So, yeah.
Right.
Well, this has been, I feel like I could keep talking and so many more topics we could cover, but probably should wrap up. I'd love to know where, if someone's driving, where people could find you, if a website, social media, anything like that.
Yeah, we're easy to get a hold of, Sarah. Sherwood.tv, Sherwood.tv. And through that site, there's ways to connect on their social media. We give a lot of stuff away,
Oh,
just
nice.
freebie stuff. People can subscribe to our blog and videos. We have a television show that airs on a bunch of different networks. And we have some movies we've made, some books we've written. And of course, we work with people too. I mean, we have like a free webinar that's every month that people can, attend and ask us virtual questions, and then they can work with us if we want to. So we're just out here to serve, man. And that's all I can say. But we're at Sherwood.tv and just happy to be here and happy to help.
Awesome. Well, I'll make sure to put that in the show notes. And this has just been so much fun, and it's been absolutely lovely meeting you. And I'm so excited for my community to have the opportunity to talk to you and or to meet you as well.
Well, it's been an honor, and thanks for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to the Evolving Wellness Podcast. Just a quick little reminder, nothing in this show is medical advice or meant to be taken as a substitute for working one-on-one with a healthcare practitioner. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Dr. Sherwood. Make sure to head on over to his website, follow his channels. If you are interested in the Holy Hydrogen Machine, again, my code to save there is Sarah K, and the link will be in the show notes for you as well. If you enjoyed the show, please head on over to Apple or Spotify to leave the show up to a 5-star review, share with a friend, share with a family member. If you're on YouTube, give us a comment to say hello, leave us a like, and it will help to get the show out to more people. As always, thank you so much for listening or watching, whichever one you did. I want to continue to carry this message of a different way of looking at our health, alternative ways of healing, and how we should continue to have hope, even if people tell us that hope is something we should lose. I disagree. Thanks again for listening or watching, and I will catch you next time.